It's time now for Money Matters with the Lewis family. Doug, Linda, and Deborah, owners of Lewis Financial Management, a Raleigh-based family-owned financial planning firm providing financial advice since 1983. Doug and Deborah are certified financial planners, CFPs, who can answer any of your questions about investments, retirement planning, and estate planning. Call Doug, Linda, and Deborah at their office, 919-872-7000, with your financial planning questions. That's 919-872-7000. Now, here are Doug, Linda, and Deborah.
Investments offered through SFA, Inc. Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. SFA, Inc. and Lewis Financial Management are not related entities. And we are the Lewis family, ready to answer your questions tonight.
This is Linda Lewis, and thank you for joining us on Money Matters on News Radio 680 WPTF.
And I'm Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Deborah Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. And we're here to answer your questions for the next hour.
Well, Deborah, many of our listeners that call in and schedule appointments with us have a question that comes up many times during
a typical week.
And that question is, I have a 401k. How should it be invested?
It's a typical question. Whether or not you know what to invest in your 401k can often consume a lot of unnecessary time. The real answer is you should first get a list of options that are available to you in your plan. The list will include which investments you can buy as an employee of that company and a participant in that employer's plan. When you put money into these investments, you're hoping that they will increase in value until you want to retire. So you need to know what these investments are, and then you need to know what you can expect from those investments. And then you've got to find the right ones for you. Most people don't feel comfortable doing this on their own, so they call us at Lewis Financial Management because they know they need the help of a certified financial planner. This is one of the many things we do at Lewis Financial Management. So if knowing what to invest in your 401k is important and on your mind, give us a call this week, 919-872-7000. That's 919-872-7000.
You know, actually, I saw just yesterday we got an email from a listener who wants to schedule an appointment with us, and that's the I think that was her second question, that she wanted to know what investments I should have in my 401k, how to select them. It is indeed exactly as you said, Linda and Deborah, one of the most common questions we get, because how does the individual employee at any company know anything about investments? So if you're out there listening right now and you're just beginning, and this is the way we would do it, you would pick the first investment. And once you accumulate a few thousand dollars, then you'll need to pick the next investment. And you're building a portfolio of investments so that when you retire, you'll own assets that can be sold to produce an income to you during retirement. These investments should complement each other so that the entire 401k has the best chance to increase in size.
And over your lifetime, you may have accumulated, you know, in a large IRA or in a large 401k, as much as $100,000, $500,000, and for some folks, over $1 million. And then you really need to know if it's invested properly.
You'll want these investments to complement your non-retirement investments also. So, is it time for you to see if you need to make some changes? Call us during the week to make an appointment to look at your 401k. By making an appointment with us, you will go through the options that are available to you, and we'll advise you on what might be best or better investments to help you achieve your financial goal, which is being able to retire.
It's sad that through the last 30-some years, I have rarely ever seen an employee come to me with their 401k
properly placed.
I usually ask them, well, how did you choose these investments? And they say, well, I don't know. I just checked off a bunch of boxes, or this one here said high risk, this said low risk, and I don't really know how I did it. And that's the most common answer,
right?
Which is fine, because I wouldn't expect them to. But what they are not doing is seeking advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doug, I was thinking of the very same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, we are one, aren't we?
We are.
Sometimes we think the same thing at the same moment. But it is true that a lot of folks who have, you know, diligently participated in their 401k contributions oftentimes also procrastinate, don't they?
They do. They do. It's just, it's the easiest thing to do is to just say, it's probably working for me. I don't need to do anything else.
Yeah, and life gets busy and you're working and you're taking care of the kids. And it's time to get advice. So call us at Lewis Financial Management. We'll be happy to schedule an appointment with you. That number to call in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. Well, Doug, Deborah, what else is new in the world of retirement?
Yeah, well, this is unfortunately the opposite news. This is the bad news that, given a choice between satisfying immediate needs and desires or focusing on the future, there are studies now that are showing that the here and now is winning out. In other words, it's instant gratification versus delayed gratification. And that impulse does not look good for retirement savings.
The psychological tendency to prioritize the present over the future can have troubling implications. But that's because time, resources, and attention are limited. There are ways to counteract these, though. The impulse to spend now and instead of saving for retirement can be tempered. And that's the good news.
Yeah, the good news that academics are finding ways now to make the future seem more immediate. And a lot of times people ask me, well, Doug, you know, the way you describe your financial planning practice all these years, it's sort of like a psychological, it's sort of like a financial psychology almost.
It really is.
And it is. It is. Clients come to us. They open up to us. A lot of times we say, well, Doug, you know, I have to admit, I've been wanting to do it, but I've got bad habits. I don't save enough, or I don't invest enough.
Or I've always wanted to get started and it took me an extra decade. I'm someone who waited an extra decade and I need to fix that.
Yeah. I remember this one couple. I must have been 20 some years ago because now they're financially independent. But I remember the two of them sat there in front of me and she said, it's all his fault. It's all his fault. He spends everything on golf. That's why it's there. And he turned and looked at her and then looked at me and said, she buys too many pairs of shoes.
And we all have our tendency to want to gratify ourselves now instead of save for the future. But we know better.
That's right. The bad news is that the savings crisis is deepening because 52% of American households are at risk of being unable to maintain their standard of living in retirement. So there are some ways to motivate yourself to save more.
Yeah, envision the future as something that is vivid and real. Instead of thinking of your retirement date as in years, like I'm going to retire in 30 years, instead say to yourself, wow, my time horizon is 10,950 days away. Mm-hmm. That makes it very immediate. And thinking in days can help you start saving four times sooner. They've proven this. So by using the label days, the future feels more pressing.
Another point is that you need to break down your goals. So the closer we get to a goal, the more motivated we become. And when the reward is in sight, It explains why, you know, for example, if you're in a race, it explains why runners pick up their pace as they approach the finish line.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug, Linda, and Deborah Lewis. Call 919-872-7000 or visit our website, dougandlinda.com.
So in the context of retirement, people often fail to save in earnest until retirement is close. And that goes back to the matter of procrastinating, right?
Right.
So many of our listeners that have come in always make the comment, I wish I had done this 10 years ago.
Yeah, so the way to make it happen is you break it down into sub-goals.
That's
which,
right.
Of course, this is exactly what we do at Lewis Financial Management. As soon as the client comes in, we have the long-term goal. We find out exactly what they will need to accumulate or to have accumulated by the time they want to stop working. And then we break it down into short-term, mid-term, long-term goals. And then design those sub-goals as both realistic and challenging. Why? Because if your goals are too hard, it's easy to fall short and lose motivation.
That's right. And if you do fall short, maintaining perspective is key. Let's say you set a goal to start investing your monthly cash flow surplus this month, and instead it takes you 3 months to actually get started. Did you fail? No, it just took you 3 months instead of one.
I'm remembering the client that recently had told us he wanted to go ahead and start saving $10,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got an email saying, oops, back it down to $3,000 this month.
Uh-huh.
All right. But then we got another email. Okay. Crank it back up again.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So people know that once you have a goal and some way to have accountability, it makes you move faster. So you need to monitor your progress.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, to monitor the progress. Individuals should automate their savings to reduce the temptation. We call that pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
In your retirement portfolio, you fix
that's your
it.
Monthly contribution of your salary that you want deferred into your 401k.
And that's easy because then your bookkeeper or payroll automates it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then over in the non-retirement investments, we help you set it up so that it goes a straight draft from your checking account to whichever investment you chose.
That's right.
Automated. And those prompted to monitor their progress are much more successful, according to all the studies.
That's right. And those that track their progress toward their savings goals, even more successful. To prevent your savings and investing decisions from being influenced by market moves, monitor the amounts you're putting in, just like Doug was saying, instead of your account balances. This will help you truly achieve financial success. And the reason why is because retirement may seem like it's a long way away now, but success begins by starting this month. Know what you need to save or invest this month so you can spend it years from now.
If you'd like further information, call us at 919-872-7000 or go to our website, DougAndLinda.com. That's DougAndLinda.com.
Holly, this is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner.
Deborah Lewis, Certified Financial Planner.
How can we help you this evening?
Hi, I'm calling from a beach house on the North Carolina coast that my grandparents own. I've been coming here my whole life, and the entire family enjoys it so much, but a financial advisor has suggested that they sell it. And I understand that there's no debt on the house, so I was wondering why they'd be advised to do so.
Well, that's sort of a hard question to answer without some specifics. Help me understand a little bit more. It's owned by your parents?
Grandparents.
It's owned by your grandparents.
Yes, right. I'm just down here visiting, and I was thinking about it because we would love for them to be able to keep it.
Well, of course, they can keep it until they die. Then the question is, what is the size of their estate? Do you have any idea what the size of their estate is?
I know they live very comfortably.
Oh, that's how much they spend. But
income.
Yeah, if
do they need it for income?
Well, I guess we've got so many questions popping into my head.
Yeah.
How old are they, Holly?
They're mid-70s.
Okay.
They have a long time.
Who's the house go to when they pass away?
It would be divided amongst the siblings. So my parents and their brothers and sisters.
How many siblings are there?
There's three.
Three siblings. And are all three of the siblings financially well off?
Yes.
All right. So then the question is going to be, what do the siblings, what will they want to do at that time?
Well,
if they own it jointly,
then they own one third of a home.
No, now it's even worse because they may be married. Are the siblings married?
Well, her parents are. There's two parents there. So does each sibling have a spouse?
Yes.
So now you'd have six owners of one house.
And
so do you think that would be their reasoning?
One of the things that comes to my mind, this is Linda Lewis, is, okay, whatever the value of the home is, and do you know what the value is roughly?
Between $800,000 and $1 million.
Okay, so part of the cost of owning the house is the property taxes, the upkeep, etc. And who knows? I mean, depending on what their other assets are, if they have mutual funds or CDs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you know, what we don't know what those other assets are that are producing income for them. And, you know, the major concern is, number one, how much do they have coming in as income besides Social Security? And are they, I mean, are they comfortable or are they just tired of having the house? I mean,
They're retired and they're living comfortably. I mean,
what kind of an answer were you looking for, Holly? I mean, because I don't, like why a financial advisor would advise someone to sell a home? A little bit too broad. Maybe we could narrow it down a little bit.
I was just wondering if the house had been paid off, why that would be suggested that they do so.
This is Deborah Lewis, certified financial planner at Lewis Financial Management. Our number at the office is 919-872-7000. Call me at 919-872-7000.
Well, in our practice, many times we advise them not to sell the beach house because at the time of death, whoever inherits it, in this case your siblings, they have what's called...
her parents their siblings.
Yeah, her parents, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So those that inherit it, your parents and your uncles and aunts, they get what's called a step-up in basis, and then they can sell it tax-free. That's the first reason not to sell it.
Okay.
And many times that's what we advise. On the other hand, as Linda said, a lot of times the parents are being deprived of a lot of income because the kids want it. And then we say, no, that's not right. They need to go ahead and think of their parents. And if they have $1 million asset that can produce maybe $60,000 a year income, then we move to another realm. Is there a way to sell it now and not pay the capital gains tax, because the taxes on sale before death are very high? That's when we use a charitable trust where we donate the house or the property to the trust. The trust sells it and starts producing an income for the owners, meaning your grandparents. So it depends more on what the planner knew and why they said to sell it. In some cases, that's the worst answer. Other cases, it's the best answer. But I will say this. At death, it's going to be a very complicated situation. I've seen that many a time in my practice. Let's say there is a divorce later on, and one of those wants a part of their inheritance. And that's then it becomes really difficult. Because
a house, you can't sell off the bathroom. 1/6 of it is a problem. So how do you cash out the one person who wants their part?
Or even worse, let's say Holly's parents pass away, and this is her inheritance,
and she wants her inheritance.
She wants hers, but how does she get a sixth of the house?
So I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
it is very tricky. I know of one situation which has been held up for 50 years in multi-generational disputes over just this issue. So that has to be brought into the equation. But if we can help in any way, you may want to go ahead and schedule an appointment at our office. Either you or your parents or your grandparents, we do multi-generational planning. Our office number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-872-7000. We have many clients that do have beach properties and beach homes and situations just like this. We'd be very happy to go ahead and meet with y'all. All right, well, it looks like Holly has dropped off, but I hope she got the answer that she was looking for.
Doug, it looks like we've got a caller.
Perry, this is Doug Lewis, certified financial planner. How can I help you this evening?
Oh, I just wanted to talk and find out whether I should talk with you in the office.
Well, what's the deal? What's the issue?
What it is well, I'm trying to figure out whether I've got my stuff right or not. I mean, I have a 401k right now, and I had to roll over one because I left the company that I had one with before that.
Right. Now, when you did your rollover, how much was the rollover that you?
$100,000.
I'm sorry.
$100,000.
All right, that was at the old 401k.
Yeah.
Are you working still?
Yeah, but I'm with a different company.
All right.
So the original one is into an IRA.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, that 401k went into an IRA.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think that's a much better decision. I commend you for taking that option. Many companies allow you to roll it into the new 401k.
I didn't want to do that because I didn't like the one that they have.
Good for you. Good for you. And also you lose control.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing.
All right. Now, how old are you, Perry?
57.
You're 57 years old. You married or single?
Married.
Married. All right. What's your income?
Around 60.
All right, around 60,000. Is your wife working?
No, not outside the home.
Okay, right. But for compensation, this is the family.
No, that's right.
This is the family income.
That's it.
Okay. And what other investments do you have in your personal investment portfolio other than retirement investments?
Virtually, I have about 10,000 in another mutual fund.
All right. Anything in cash or CDs or money market?
There's about $20,000 in cash.
All right.
And I have about, $25,000 in U.S. bonds.
All right. What, in EE bonds?
EE, yeah.
Right. That's something we want to get rid of along the way as we do an asset allocation. What about your living expenses, Perry?
Oh, they aren't bad. I don't have a mortgage.
Okay.
So, you got food and clothing and things like that.
Right. Do you have any idea how much you're spending on a monthly or an annual basis?
Let's see. How much do I get rid of out of my salary? I guess is what you're saying over a year.
All right.
That's a tough one. You know, I don't think about it.
Sometimes you can back into it. How much you pay for taxes, first of all?
Oh, about $5,000 for federal, about $2,000.
Seven.
Eight.
Three.
Years.
And how much are you contributing to your 401k?
10%.
So that's another six. That brings you down to 47.
And I put away...
Probably got about $3,000 for FICA. Security.
The full, whatever the total is, I hit the top always.
Okay, then you may be at $5,000. So you might be down to $42,000.
Amazing, isn't it? And then food, I know that's about $5,000 and $6,000 a year. $6,000 easily.
If you want to call during the week to set up a face-to-face appointment, the number is 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000. Also, we have a website at Lewis Financial Management. That's DougAndLinda.com. DougAndLinda.com.
What you want to do in the financial planning arrangement is we want to go ahead and start with a needs analysis. And yes, it would be probably to your benefit to go ahead and schedule an appointment with Linda, call the office during the week, and she can set up a time. And we're going to want to take a look at your living expenses, your assets. You say you have no mortgage. Any other liabilities?
None.
All right. Well, that's good. That means that your assets are your net worth. We're going to want to go ahead and look at your both your qualified and your non-qualified. And it looks to me like you've got a significant, what we call net margin, which means excess income net over expenses.
Yeah, I do. I know that. And that's the thing is I wanted.
And that needs to, that's the big thing you've got. I'm not happy with your, in other words, if all you've got is about $50,000 in non-qualified investment portfolio at your age, then that makes me nervous. And therefore, what we need to do is to see how rapidly you can build it. Using that net margin, and in building it, build it according to an asset allocation model. And in that model, we will include both the qualified, meaning the IRA rollover monies, and the non-qualified. It may be that you haven't done anything wrong so far. You just need to go ahead and shift the pieces around.
Yeah, that's the thing is, and I've listened to your program on several occasions, and it sounds like you would be the person to talk to that could at least tell me what I'm doing wrong or how best to take what I have and make the best advantage. Because I really want to retire at 62 or 63, somewhere in there.
Yeah, we can do some financial independence studies.
And I will get a retirement fund from the first company. That's sitting somewhere.
Yeah, what you've just told us is that your financial independence feasibility study is targeting 5 years or 6 years, and we want to run an analysis to find out whether you'll be able to make it under the assumptions that we build in.
That's what I really need to know.
Yeah, and our number in the Raleigh area, Perry, is
872-7000. 872-7000?
Yes, sir. USA 7000. Oh, and if, okay. You know, in the meantime, if you and your wife would get a notebook and start jotting your questions down, and if you'll call me, I'll be happy to send you an introductory packet.
Okay.
And some worksheets where you can fill out the data that we would need, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, I'll give you a call then Monday.
Okay, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for
All right, bye-bye.
You know what, Doug and Linda? Perry's question represents so many of the calls that we receive on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I forgot to tell him, though, that if he calls to schedule an appointment, we're giving away one of three books. Again, as we have, seems like our listeners that are coming to the office, they're enjoying these. So again, if Perry comes in, if you're still listening, Perry, we will offer you either The Wealthy Barber, Middle Class Millionaire, or Simple Wealth, Inevitable Wealth. And also, don't forget, we have a website. Go to our website, DougAndLinda.com, DougAndLinda.com. Okay, Debs, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just remarking that, you know, to myself that he represents most of the people who definitely are listeners who make appointments, who come in. You know, 60,000 family income is not exceptionally high or making you think that, you know, well, only wealthy people need financial planners. No, everyone needs a certified financial planner. Whether you're beginning, you're in the middle of accumulating, or if you're at the end, you know that you need to know how much you spend on taxes, how much you spend on living expenses, how much you need to contribute to your retirement plan to get to your financial planning goal. These are the typical, everyday, average folks who, in the end, become middle-class millionaires.
And it's wonderful, isn't it? Because so many of our families are couples or, you know, our listeners that have come in and scheduled appointments, they're just like Perry. They're married. They've been working every year on their jobs, taking care of the kids, paying down the mortgage. But because life is busy, many of them are procrastinating. And you get to a point in your life where either an event happens or it's just time.
Well, like in his situation, he's looking at retiring in 5 years. Well, what was his biggest question? Is retirement feasible? Can we do it? Are we going to have enough?
And I'm reminded last week, the client that came to see us during the week, at the end of the meeting, it's always the same comment. Gee, I wish I had done this. I wish I'd come to see you 10 years before. It's the same.
So true. Right.
5 years before, 10 years before.
Right. So if you're listening, make that commitment. This is the year that you get started answering the question, am I on track? Will I be ready to retire when I want to? So if this sounds like you, definitely call during the week at 919-872-7000. That's 919-872-7000. I thought we might bring a real case study to the conversation tonight because I think what people like hearing the most is stuff that might be what they might be going through.
All right. Why don't we do the Mark and Kathy Parker case?
Let's do it. Mark and Kathy Parker, both 67 years old, have been retired for 2 years. While they are living comfortably on their current retirement income, they are concerned about the effects of inflation on their purchasing power in the future. They would also like a little extra income for occasional trips and other modest luxuries they currently cannot afford. At the same time, the Parkers want to leave some inheritance for their children and grandchildren, as well as make a substantial gift to the local Jewish Federation, which they have been involved with for over the years.
So let me see if I got it. They're both 67.
Mm-hmm.
They are already retired.
Correct.
They live comfortably on their retirement income. They'd like a little extra income. They want to leave inheritance for their kids and grandkids. And they want to make some contribution to the Jewish Federation.
That's right.
Because they've been involved.
That's
okay,
right. We want to leave for our children. And they're also charitably minded.
Okay. What's the problem?
All right. Well,
the Parkers own $1 million worth of stock in the company where Mark worked for many years. And as an employee of that company, Mark received stock options and he exercised them over time. So he has a cost basis of only $100,000. Well, the stock has been a very good growth stock, but it has produced minimal dividend income that they need to count on. The Parkers are considering, they considered selling some of the stock and reinvesting it in income-producing portfolio, but they don't like the idea of paying $200,000 of taxes to the IRS.
Okay, so they've got $1 million worth of stock, and they're facing $200,000 in taxes. The stock obviously doesn't give much income. No stock gives very much dividend income. So we see their problem.
Now, we fortunately at Lewis Financial Management are very familiar. So we suggested they create a charitable gift plan and proposed a solution to help them achieve all of their objectives and eliminate this capital gain tax that would be looming. The Parkers give half of their stock to a charitable remainder trust called a CRT, for which they can claim a $100,000 income tax deduction. The CRT sells the stock for $500,000, saving them about $100,000 in capital gains taxes. The sale proceeds are reinvested into an investment portfolio that gives them $40,000 a year income. Some of that income is directed to a wealth replacement trust to pay premiums on a policy that will benefit the Parkers' children.
If you need help, call me, Deborah Lewis, 919-872-7000. 919-872-7000.
And then at the Parkers' death, the remaining assets in the CRT will be distributed to their charity of choice, the Jewish Federation.
Okay, so let's go through what happens in this strategy. The $500,000 gift of stock to the charitable trust eliminates all taxes. The Parkers would have had to pay those taxes if they had sold it outright, but now they have eliminated all taxes. Number two, it's also created an income tax deduction that substantially improves their net cash flow. In addition, the Parkers will create more lifetime spendable income for themselves, which is one of their big goals. And then fourth, it gives a larger inheritance for their children. And of course, number five, it gives a large gift at their death to their favorite charity, which was the Jewish Federation. So if we summarize what were the effects of this whole strategy, taxes are zero. The net cash flow that came to them over the rest of their lives, about $720,000. The inheritance that goes to the kids from the insurance policy, about $250,000. And the Jewish Federation got $500,000. It was a win-win-win situation because zero taxes.
And, you know, we see this solution called the charitable trust as a solution for so many people's situations. It is a nice way to sell an appreciated piece of land or a farm or a business and then have that income inside that portfolio by an investment portfolio that can create an income stream, sort of like a pension for the rest of your life.
That's exactly what it is. It becomes a pension for you. And the way we like to set them up, of course, is you never lose control from day one all the way until your death. All of the pieces are under your control.
Definitely a win-win-win situation. So if you're out there listening, thank you for joining us on Money Matters with the Lewises on News Radio 680 WPTF.
If you'd like further information, call us at 919-872-7000 or go to our website, DougAndLinda.com. That's DougAndLinda.com.
Let's take our caller.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
This is Linda Lewis. How can we help you today?
Well, Linda, I'll tell you, I got a question on whether I'm saving enough.
Yes, sir.
55.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to retire at 58.
Okay.
Now, the pension will be about $2,000 a month.
All right.
And what we have now is income of about $100,000. And I've got about $500,000 in tax deferred accounts.
So you've got $500,000 in tax deferred accounts. Your current income is $100,000. Is that you combined with your wife?
Yes.
All right. And will she continue to work?
No.
What are your expenses?
Other than what we're saving, we spend the rest of it. So we're saving about $20,000 a year.
So you're spending about $80,000?
And then, of course, the taxes.
Taxes.
So yeah. How much you spend last year in taxes?
That one I can't answer.
Well, if we assume that you spent maybe $30,000 in taxes last year.
Okay.
And you're saving $20,000, then that says that you're spending $50,000.
Okay.
If you're spending $50,000, then what does he want to do, Linda? He wants to find out whether he'll have $50,000 in 3 years.
And you're saying that in retirement you'll get $2,000
a month. That's 24.
That's 24,000. But do you have, Bill, anything outside of the tax deferred investments? I mean, do you have like any other personal funds?
Just emergency money.
So you don't have like your own mutual funds in your own name? No. Or CDs or anything like that?
No.
But that's okay. He'll be 58 years old. That's
You'll be able to access that money.
So let's see what his shortfall is, Linda. He needs to get $50,000 before tax, which means he probably needs to get about $75,000. He needs to get $50,000 after tax to live. So he needs to end up with maybe about $75,000 coming in from everything, right? And he's got 24 of that already from the pension. So he's going to be shy about $51,000. It's got to come from somewhere, and that's going to come from, has to come from his investments or his retirement plan. Now, you said your retirement plan is worth how much, about $500?
Yes.
All right, total $500. Well, obviously, if you were to try and do it today, you couldn't make it.
That's right.
Because $500,000 will not give $51,000 a year income. The question is, if we can get it growing between now and the next 3 years, will it grow big enough to where then it'll throw off $51,000 a year income? And I'm not at my office. I'm down at the station during the week. I'm at the office. If you were at my office, I would be able to work some numbers for you a little better. That number at the office, by the way, is 919-872-7000. But if we go ahead and think that we can grow that $500,000 to where it's worth about $700,000, if we got it up to $750,000, I would say you're all right. Because $750,000 could comfortably give you $51,000 a year.
Okay.
And $51,000 a year plus your regular $24,000 a year would give you $75,000 a year. And then your $75,000 a year, subtracting your taxes, would leave you the $50,000 a year that we think you need. Now, we've got a lot of iffy sort of assumptions here since we're doing this real quick on the back of a pad of paper.
At 62, the Social Security would kick in.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we have other sources of income.
Yeah, well, no, we got a gap. We got a gap period there because we don't, and we also got a penalty period. For the first year and a half, we'd have to pay a 10% penalty. It would be an interesting equation. By the way, the money right now, what kind of retirement plan is it in?
It's tax deferred. It's a combination of 401k and IRA.
Yeah, if you, the IRA portion we could work with now, the 401k portion we could only work with at retirement. But if I had the whole thing spread out in front of me, I could go ahead and make some recommendations about how to try and make sure that you would get it. And then we would try and grow it up to age 58 when you retire. Then we have two choices. We can do, there's a special section of the tax code that will let me get that money out for you and not pay the 10% tax penalty.
Is that only for the IRA or both?
That's for both.
Okay.
But we have to do it with a 5-year freeze. However, that would work. We could do that, or we could just go ahead and look at the living expenses at that time and see how close we are, and we may not have to go ahead and do it. We may be able to go ahead and do it on a variable. You have no money of your own invested anywhere?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it would be a very interesting equation. I think we could work with it, and we could do it. Worst case is we have to pay a penalty for a year. That would be your choice, whether to pay the penalty for the year and a half to get to where age 59, you don't have to go ahead, and you can then adjust according to your needs. And then 2 or 3 more years later, we could do the Social Security.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, jot down my office number. It's 872-7000.
Okay.
That's 919-872-7000. And some people remember that as just USA 7000. And if you call my office during the week, Linda can check my schedule. Generally, we're booked a little ahead of time, but whatever meeting time I've got, she'll set up an appointment and tell you how we charge and so on.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Bill.
Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
There was recently an article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about lessons from the rich. And let's discuss this. There are a few good things to pull out of this article.
Yeah, this is really interesting because when it comes to their personal finances, the folks we call the ultra wealthy, they share many of the same problems as investors with lower balances. Now, some of the ultra wealthy, and they're defined as folks that have $10 million or more in investable assets, they turn to a peer network to get help and prospective management and preserving their fortunes. They pay $30,000 a year for admission into this group.
Well, and this particular group.
That's right. This
particular group,
this peer group. They call it Tiger, as a matter of fact. And they pay $30,000 a year, and they do an annual portfolio defense, where they share their personal balance sheets, their income statements, their financial goals with a small group of folks.
And so there was this man, Perry Lerner, who recently let us sort of peek into his life and his portfolio defense when he met with his investment club. Mr. Lerner is 73 years old, a co-founder of Crown Global Insurance Group, and he explained why he made certain investments and answered questions about his portfolio, his family, his charitable giving, and his estate planning.
Yeah, that was really interesting, Lerner, and I really enjoyed him. He's popped up a couple of times recently also. Now, he created a spreadsheet of his accounts, including his assets and his liabilities, and putting everything down on one spreadsheet helped him, he said, get a clear, organized picture of what he owns and what he owes. It also reminded him of something that he thinks when he gets yet another financial statement in the mail. He said, I've got too many accounts. And that's one of the things, Linda, that you always want to know, you know, is there any way you can simplify?
Yeah, it was funny because when he was interviewed, he said he pledged to consolidate his 12 brokerage accounts into two and consolidate 10 bank accounts into two. And the funniest is well, whether you have $1 million or $10 million, this is often our advice to you, which is simplify.
Right.
Streamlining is a good practice for anyone. It gives you less to track and it may cut your fees. And one day it will give your heirs less to sort through.
I like what you said, Debs. It is important to simplify.
It is. It really is. Now, what about cash and keeping cash on hand?
Yeah, he was holding about 4% of his portfolio in cash and cash equivalents. I'm not sure I think that's necessary, but that's what he was doing. He said he was worried that he wouldn't have the dry powder available to buy attractive stocks quickly. And I guess that's his personality. Of course, at Lewis Financial, once we do a total financial plan for clients, sometimes they do have this type of speculative,
The fun money account.
The mad money account. I remember the one client, she said, I want to buy a Tesla with my mad money. So she went and bought herself a Tesla. Okay. And then she bought some stock in Tesla.
If you hear something tonight that sounds like your situation, call us. Set up an appointment. We can help you. 919-872-7000. 919-872-7000.
Anyway, that's what he's doing. Depending on your own financial goals, your risk tolerance, and your overall financial situation, then that may be something for you too. But first, you should make sure that you've got enough cash for an emergency fund should a financial crisis arrive. And we like to say at least 6 months. That's a good number. 6 months of living expenses in an easily accessible account.
And this is really why you have to know your living expenses. You know, people will often ask us, why do you spend so much time on the living expenses? Well, everything either begins or ends with the living expenses. You need to know how much you have coming in and going out so you can know how much you can contribute to a monthly pay yourself first plan as you're accumulating. Well, in the end of your career, and when you have to start creating income from a retirement account, you need to know how much you need to pull out because it'll be taxable income. And the way you know is by knowing your living expenses. So this is a key part of our financial lives for the rest of our lives. Another, I guess, guideline or lesson from the rich is we all need to know our blind spots. Mr. Lerner, he might not have had enough money invested in actively. He thought he might not have enough money invested in actively managed stock funds, but the group didn't really care about that. You know what they thought his most urgent issue to address was?
What's that?
They said to him, you need to ask more questions about your estate and charitable giving.
Interesting.
They were really concerned in this group environment that he had not taken care of all of his estate and charitable planning.
Wow.
So the group encouraged Mr. Lerner to consider giving more money to his adult children now, to put certain assets in trust, and to set up a family foundation while he is alive. And if these things sound familiar to you as someone who may have listened to our show for many years or even over just the last year, but Doug and Linda talk about trusts. We do a lot. We give a lot of advice on trusts.
Charitable trust, donor advised funds, and so forth. Yes, indeed. Now, for investors of more modest means, a certified financial planner can help you see what you're overlooking in your financial life. For example, we at Lewis Financial can help determine if you're too heavily invested in your employer's stock. We might prompt you to reduce your support of your adult children. We might ask you about working in one more year or finally write up a will. It's never too late. It's never too late. Just call us. Call us at Lewis Financial Management. That's 919-872-7000. That's 919-872-7000 to schedule an appointment with us, and we will help you get your own personalized financial plan created, whether you are a member of the ultra rich over 10 million or whether you're only just getting started.
And you have $10,000 and you want to know where to, you know, go into your first investment.
Well, I really enjoyed that. That was great because that gave us the overview of comprehensive financial planning.
Exactly.
Because if you're very wealthy, then you have a lot of assets.
Right.
And you don't worry that much about, you know,
outliving your money.
Outliving your money because you have so much
right.
of it. But many times folks have concerned about simplifying, which you spoke about, Deborah, which is what a lot of folks, especially as they get older, they want to. Or if they're dealing with terminal illness or just illness or dementia, those are the things that they really want to hone in on. And that's what we do at Lewis Financial Management, comprehensive financial planning.
If you want to call us during the week to set up an appointment for yourself, give me a call at 919-872-7000, and we will get started. We'll make a list of the questions that are on your mind.
And if you're one of the millions of Americans with a retirement savings account, three of the most important letters in the alphabet and in your financial life are RMD.
And that's because they stand for the required minimum distribution, which is something that every baby boomer now needs to deal with for the first time, because we're at the end of that time that you could just leave it there to be tax deferred. This RMD refers to an annual payout that savers must take from their retirement accounts at a certain point as required by law. The first of the boomers, those are the people born between 46 and 64, are just now hitting that age of 70 and a half when most will be required to pull money out of their 401ks and IRAs, but there are a lot of exceptions and deadlines regarding these amounts.
Yeah, Natalie Choate, who is a very frequently quoted expert in retirement investments and retirement strategy, she's got a lot of columns that you see in Financial Press. She said that she was surprised how complicated the process was for her, and she indeed is an expert. So why is age 70 and a half important?
Well, it marks the point in a person's life when retirees must begin taking a required annual payout from the tax-sheltered retirement accounts, such as IRAs, maybe a SEP IRA if you were a business owner, maybe a simple IRA, And of course, if you had a Roth IRA, you wouldn't have to take it out because tax has already been paid. But also, if you have a 401k or a 403b and any other workplace plan as well, you will begin your RMD at 70 and a half.
Now, why are withdrawals required? Well, that's because Congress encouraged people to save for retirement by providing those tax benefits for those accounts. But lawmakers don't want to shelter those savings forever. So users often must withdraw at least a minimum amount every year after 70 and a half.
Yeah, and then we come to the question of how large are those mandatory required withdrawals? Now, for most people, they begin at about 3.5% of the assets and they rise with your age, although they're never large enough to empty the account. The annual percentage applies to the individual retirement assets as of the end of the preceding December 31. Now, there's no limit on how much you can take out. For example, an IRA owner can pull out as much above that RMD amount as he wants.
How do you figure the minimum withdrawal? Well, the IRA sponsors are required to compute the amount for savers but they can make mistakes.
Yeah, we at Lewis Financial Management don't make mistakes. No, that's our responsibility to make sure, every one of our clients that is over 70 and a half is taking out the proper amount. Because if you get hit with that penalty, 50% penalty is huge. So we make sure. On the other hand, different custodians make mistakes.
If something has popped in your head tonight, give me a call during the week. My number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-872-7000.
Now we come to the big question of the deadline. What's the deadline for taking required withdrawals? The first payout is for the year that a taxpayer turns 70 and a half. 70 and a half. And this can be tricky.
Another question is, what's the tax rate on those withdrawals? The withdrawal becomes part of the saver's ordinary income and is taxed at those rates, not lower long-term capital gains rates.
So what if you have several IRAs and a 401k plan with required withdrawals? Well, must the payout for each account come from that account?
Yeah, this issue really has caused a lot of confusion. Each payout from a 401k plan must be figured separately and taken from that account. But with IRAs, the saver, the investor, is free to take the required payout disproportionately. So he or she could take a large amount from one IRA and a little amount from another IRA and nothing from others, as long as the payments all add up to the correct total.
But be sure to avoid another common mistake in this area, which is when one spouse thinks, wrongly, that they can take the entire required payout for both spouses from one IRA. What really should happen is each partner must take their RMD from their own IRA account. What if you take more money than the minimum amount one year? Can you apply the excess to the minimum amount due the next year?
No, it can't do that, unfortunately.
Well, what if you miss a withdrawal or take less than the required amount, Doug?
If you take less or you miss it, the penalty is 50%, as I said earlier. 50% of the amount that you didn't take out, and that is stiff. So those three initials, RMD, they are crucial. And if you're in that category of people who are real close to 70 and a half years old, call us at Lewis Financial Management, 919-872-7000, 919-872-7000. Go to our website, dougandlinda.com, and we will have you schedule a meeting with us.
You know, Doug and Debs, I just want to say that this is what we do every week at Lewis Financial Management. This is the kind of service that we provide for our retirees. And many of our clients are in pre-retirement ages, and some are 70 and 70 and a half. So because we're tracking income, and we're looking at taxes, and we're looking at the retirement portfolio, the personal portfolio, when that time comes up, you know, usually the custodian of the retirement plan will assist in calculating, because there is a formula, right? How much needs to be taken out.
Right.
But also we're tracking that, right, Debs?
That's right. So, I mean, you bring a good point. I mean, there never have we ever heard someone say, you know what, the only thing I'm really concerned about is money management. I'm not concerned about taxes, estate planning, retirement feasibility, cash flow, living expenses, or any other things that money affects. So because we know that as a profession, and then as locally, probably the longest running comprehensive financial planning firm here in Raleigh, we know that from our experience, all of this, whether it's the IRAs, RMD, all of this is a part of a bigger picture. Are
exactly.
we going to be able to make it? Is what we have going to cover our living expenses for the rest of our lives? Are we going to leave to our children the way we desire? Are we going to gift along the way and at our deaths at our desired levels? Are we going to see our financial future come to its fruition? And the answer is, well, yes, with the help of a certified financial planning firm, you can know you're on track.
I would say that through the years, the two most popular questions that everybody has is either, can I become financially independent, or can I maintain my financial independence?
I think you nailed
everybody
it.
Everybody wants the same thing. And of course, we know that there's a lot more. We didn't talk tonight about grandparents and gifts. But right now, with the music in the background, I can tell we're about at the end of our show. We do want to remind everybody that your money matters because your financial future is at stake. And we are the Lewis family.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug, Linda, and Deborah Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug, Linda, or Deborah in Raleigh at 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Saturday and Sunday at 5 p.m. for Money Matters with the Lewises on 680 WPTF.